News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
And if you were listening earlier on, you will have heard Peter Boylan, the former master of the National Maternity Hospital, raising concerns about the guidelines in respect of how labour is handled in our maternity hospitals and saying it puts women and babies at risk. If you missed that and you want to listen back, newstalk.com. If you just search for Breakfast or the Go Light app is where you can find that interview. Maeve Ogan is with us. She's an obstetrician and gynaecologist at the Rotunda. And Maeve, I'm conscious that what with the pressures of delivering babies, you may not have heard what Peter Boylan has had to say this morning. So in summary, what he was saying was that the definition of latent versus established labour occurring at 3 centimetres dilation is arbitrary, unnecessary and based on outdated research from the 1950s, and that what is happening is that women are being sent home when they should be receiving multidisciplinary care, and that that is putting women and babies at risk.
Thanks, Anton. Yeah, I'm a little bit bamboozled by the sort of unnecessarily kind of alarmist nature of what's been said there. And equally, I'm sorry, I was working and I was unable to listen to him this morning, but I did read his opinion piece in the Irish Times at the weekend, which had similar assertions. Now, firstly, I would say there are a number of guidelines. I'm not entirely sure which specific guideline he was referring to, but I think it was probably the intrapartum care guideline for women on the supported care pathway. So they are women who would be, you know, categorized as the most normal of risk people. So people who aren't particularly overdue, people who aren't having an early baby, people who haven't had a previous cesarean section, people who are having a normal size baby. That's one of the many guidelines we have. But at no point, I mean, there's sort of 82 or 83 recommendations in that. There is no piece of that guideline that says nobody can go to the labour ward till they're 4 centimetres dilated.
Well, no, but what he's asserting is that the normal practice is, and what these guidelines would confirm, is that until 4 centimetres, the recommendation is that you would be either not in the maternity or not in the labour ward, or in some instances might be told that you could go home and that you could return at a later stage. And he's saying that Ockenden and other reports and his own analysis is suggesting that that is putting women and babies in danger.
Yeah, so what the guideline very much says is that women should be listened to and an individualised plan of care should be made in partnership with her. So it may be very appropriate for a person to, you know, be mobilising and to be, you know, having the baby's heartbeat listened to on the antenatal ward in the early stages of labour. For another person, she might want to have an epidural straight away, so she is going to the labour ward for that. And there's ongoing and continuous review of people's individual risk. So just because somebody might be normal risk at the start of labour, they might be high risk at the end of labour. And the plan of care should be able to pivot to according to what people need.
But should there be that Rubicon of 4 centimetres? Because what he's saying is...
But there isn't a Rubicon of 4 centimetres. There is just there is a description of the latent phase of labour, which is when, you know, things may happen quickly in some people, slower in other people. But there isn't a line in that guideline that says nobody can go to the labour ward before there's 4 centimetres.
But he's suggesting that latent phase is effectively a fiction.
So labour is a little bit, it's not like the days of the week that you have to have 24 hours of Tuesday before you get to Wednesday. Some people will go from 0 centimetres to 6 centimetres. So what you have to do in that scenario is be looking at the patient, be talking to the patient, be seeing what their symptoms are, and bringing them to the labour ward when they need the appropriate care of the labour ward, or allowing them to mobilise in a less intense environment if that is their preference, as long as it remains safe to
and
do
you see,
so.
I think what he's driving at is that it would be better to remove that ambiguity and to increase the level of care, that once you get to that point, rather than making an assessment of the individual, why not just as a matter of course transfer to the labour ward?
Yeah, but some people don't want to be on a labour ward from the minute they have the first pain in labour. Other people do want to be because they want to have you know, a particular choice of pain relief. So you can't either have an arbitrary marker at which time somebody wants to be on the labour ward. And don't forget, this actual guideline is also for people who are birthing at home. This is for the most normal of risk people, some of whom will choose to birth at home. So there may not be a labour ward in this context at all, but there will always be midwife supervision, and there will always be listening to a patient. And in fact, like, a greater barrier, I suppose, for transferring a patient to the labour ward often is availability of a midwife or availability of a labour ward room. You know, I mean, there's been lots and lots of discussions over the last number of years about maternity services and how they need to have appropriate resources and appropriate infrastructure. And it was
in that context, just to bring up to date, it was Peter Boylan's assertion that what occurs in that is that you would speed labour for particularly first births, and that would take some of the pressures off that system.
That you would what? You would speed up labour, is it?
Yes, that it would be a quicker labour if there was more medical care provided.
Well, some people don't want any intervention. Do you mean like giving drips to speed up the labour? That some people don't want more medical intervention.
What then about the reliance?
Or don't need more medical intervention.
In his view on Ockenden, would you not draw the same concerns from that report?
I mean, the reports, the Ockenden and the Emmaus reports, they're all very shocking, and they're individual stories where people's lives have been individually irreparably damaged. But it is a different jurisdiction. That's not that we can't learn from that. We absolutely can. One of the things that Dr. Boylan mentioned in his opinion piece was the importance of doctors and midwives working together. And I would have to say, in our jurisdiction, the models of care, I would think, are very, very collaborative in terms of doctors and midwives working together. Every woman needs a midwife in her labour, and some women need doctors. And for the most part, labour wards include midwifery and medical care, and there isn't a kind of a barrier, a room that doctors aren't allowed to walk into or anything like that, because that's a midwifery care arena. You know, there's very much collaborative working, and the guidelines were developed by doctors, midwives and patients together. So I think it's really important that people know that they are safe in labour wards, that they speak up if they feel that, their pains are worse than people are anticipating, and that most importantly, that we all work together to ensure that we have an optimal maternity service that's appropriately resourced, both from the infrastructure and the staffing perspective going forward.
Maeve, thank you very much for your time this morning. Really appreciate it. Maeve Ogan there, obstetrician and gynaecologist at the Rotunda Hospital. That's it for us this morning. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 7.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.